Hallelujah. Well, you're here on a good Sunday because today is Vision Sunday, and we're going to be talking about what the church here, this church, now I can't speak for the whole church. I can't speak for the entire body of Christ. I can only tell you what this church, Direction Church, what we're going to do in 2015. Now, I want everybody to just look around for a minute and look at how we've started. You can tell the holiday crowd has started to come back from vacation. And there's still a few people out, but that's okay. I know some people are participating in the Disney Marathon today, which is, praise the Lord for them, 20-some miles. I don't know if I could do it. I feel pretty good. I could probably do a 10K. After that, I'd have to really train a long time to get me to 20, whatever it is. What is it, 26.2 miles? No, thank you. I worked with a guy in Tulsa that used to be a marathoner, and he'd get up in the morning before he'd come to work, and he'd go run 20 miles before he came to work. I'm like, what's the matter with you? What is wrong with you? So I know it's hot in here. Are they on? The switch on the bottom needs to be probably turned on. Yeah. Okay. So they were turned off all weekend. I don't know how that happened, but it happened. It could have been the cleaners or whatever. But anyway, so there's still some folks out, but I want you to notice it looks good in here right now, doesn't it? Amen? Now, I want you to think for me, because this is part of Vision Sunday. In fact, you should have got your 3D glasses when you came in. Now, this is just a little prop to help you think vision-wise, all right? So go ahead and just for the fun of it, put those on. We won't do the whole service with them on. But just I want you to just imagine now with these on, what it looked like with every seat in here full. Come on, just imagine that for a minute. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Now everybody's probably going, yeah, it'd be real hot in here then. You know what? I'd rather it be real hot in here than real hot in hell for somebody. Come on, somebody. So that was a good segue, right? So you can take them off. This is just a little prop to help you think about things for this year. All right? Things for this year. And I'm going to start today. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 29. We're going to start there today. But over the past few weeks and really months, I've been getting an idea and a leading of what God wants to do in our church here in 2015. And you're going to leave them on, are you? I just look out and see one person wearing those glasses. And, of course, it's one of our elders. So... But just in some of my own personal time, and I'm just going to say this, and I'm not bragging on me, but man, me and God have had a great, great last 7 days. I mean, I just decided I was going to start off the year with a 21-day fast. I'm on day 7 right now, and I'm not joking. The last 7 days have just been magical. That's probably not the right words. Anointed. We live in Orlando, so magical is good, right? But I'm just telling you, he's just been so just right there, tangible almost. And I'm really looking forward to what these next 2 weeks have in store. Last night we went over to Magic Kingdom, and every popcorn stand we walked by, I was like, no, devil, mm-mm, you are not talking to me. But the Lord has really been dealing with me, and even before I started this fast, I had him drop something in my spirit at just the right time. Sorry, I'm getting a text from my wife who is probably trying to tell me something important. So, my fly is unzipped. Excellent. No, I'm just kidding. Just joking. Anyway, she said my collar is not straight. I need to look professional and good. So, is that better? Thank you. All right. In the future, it's okay. You're the wife. You're allowed to come up and just straighten it. All right? But I was just in one of my days of driving around and just praying and just really seeking God. The Lord's so funny the way he speaks to me sometimes. He just drops something in my spirit, or I'll get a song stuck in me where I just can't stop singing it over and over and over again. And after about, 50 times of singing it over and over again, or listening to my phone or whatever, I finally realized that the Lord's talking to me. And I started listening. And some of you may have heard this song, some of you won't. We're going to play it for you at the end. But there's a Christian band called The Afters, and they're kind of a little bit more modern rock and roll type of a sound, a little bit of West Coast kind of feel to them. And they had an album come out a few years ago, and we had them at Rhema, when I was the youth pastor at Rhema. We had them at our big annual fireworks show, and we had 50,000 people there, and there they are out rocking it out. And so they're great guys, but this song just came rising up out of my spirit, and I kept singing it over and over again. And the song has got a really good, really cool title. It's called Never Going Back to OK. Never Going Back to OK. And I'm just going to tell you that for the vision that I'm going to present to you today, you're going to have to get that kind of thinking out of your mind. For too long, people have just allowed the church to just be, well, that's okay, it's just church. Mm-mm, you can't be that way anymore. We're in a time and day here in this earth that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has to rise up and be the mighty moving force that it's going to be. Well, that's not going to happen if you're waiting on somebody else. Come on now. So we're going to have to just get this in our thinking. We're never going back to okay. Now I'm going to read you these lyrics because they spoke to me. This really capsulized how I feel, how I have approached the birth of this church. You know, we're 2 years old now. We came here. We didn't know anybody. We were building something from nothing. We're actually putting a church into this part of Orlando that never existed before. Now, I'm not saying there's no churches down here, but there is no church that believes like we do down here. In fact, there have been multiple times I've had people tell me that guys came to this part of town to start a church and ended up moving to other parts of the city because there has been a real opposition, spiritually speaking, to a church being planted here, this kind of church. Now, again, there are some traditional denominational churches, but very few. The church where we met before this was an old Presbyterian church that had closed. So as you can tell, this part of town doesn't have a lot of churches. And so I approached coming here with a lot of caution, and I'm just going to call it what it is, complacency. Because I didn't want to rock the boat too much, and I didn't want to upset too many people, and I didn't want to run too many people off. But you know what? I'm just going to tell you, those days are over. Now, I'm not here to upset you and make you mad and anything like that, but we're not playing around anymore. Here it is. Here's the words of the song. I'm not going to sing it. Don't even ask. All right? It's not the end, but it feels like it is. I'm waking up like I'm back from the dead. I'm stepping out. And I feel so afraid, but as long as I'm moving, it's all right. I feel alive, and it hurts for a change. And looking back, it's hard to believe that I was cool with the days that I wasted, complacent and tasteless and bored, but that was yesterday. We're never going back to okay. We're never going back to easy. We're never going back to the way it was. We're never going back to okay. Second verse, this discontent is like a slap in the face of mediocre. I've had enough of this place. This party's over, and I'm moving away. And then, of course, this is where it's a little different for him because he's talking about where he grew up. From the frills of you, Beverly Hills, but that was yesterday. We're never going back to okay. We're never going back to easy. We're never going back to the way it was. We're never going back to okay. Then he says, we're here to stay. This is our time, our only life, our chance to live. Then he repeats the verse, we're never going back to okay. Now I want you to catch that last little bit. This is our time. This is our only chance for us to live. Listen, you can't wait till you say, well, one day. No, right now is your now. It is happening right now. Your chance to make an impact for the kingdom of God is not tomorrow when you got it all together. Listen, you'll never get it all together. I don't care if you're sitting in this room and you're a millionaire, you still don't got it all together. I don't care if you have the happiest family that, you know, raised champion kids and they all grow up and they become doctors and lawyers and scientists that change the world. You still don't got it all together. So you might as well just go ahead and make an impact for the kingdom of God right now. Well, I'm going to retire. Who cares? Make an impact for the kingdom of God anyway. Well, I don't really have the finances. Who cares? We're going to make an impact for the kingdom of God anyway. Well, I've still got things and luggage and baggage that I'm trying to get out of my life. That's okay. Make an impact for the kingdom of God anyway. Am I preaching to anybody in here this morning? There's no more excuses. Well, we don't. And the team will tell you I used them as good as anybody. Well, we don't really have anybody that can do that yet. Well, does that mean we should just sit back and not do anything? No, we're going to make an impact for the kingdom of God anyway. I'm going to preach to this side. They're going to amen me better than y'all are. We're going to make an impact for the kingdom of God. I've still got addictions and all kinds of stuff in my life. That's okay. Make an impact for the kingdom of God anyway. Oh, I've got this going on and that going on. Our finances are a mess. That's okay. Come on now. This is your chance to redeem yourselves. That's okay. Let's make an impact for the kingdom of God anyway. We're never, ever, ever going back to just okay. I'll have you amening by the end of this. The vision that I've received and I've been cultivating in my spirit for the last month and a half, we have received from God Almighty, from Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and it is a vision of urgency. Church, I'm just going to be honest with you. We got a lot of work to do. And we're never going to go back to taking it easy. This vision is a vision that needs to be given and heeded and picked up and ran with, because if we don't, the next level that we are all so desperately wanting in our lives will just remain off in the distance somewhere. Now, if you're taking notes, and again, I should have started with this. If those of you who weren't here, if you don't have it on your phone already, the YouVersion Bible app, there is something on there called Live Events. You can look up Direction Church Orlando, and today's message is in there with all the stuff from that I'm going to preach about, all the scripture references, and a place for you to take notes is in there, and then you can email it to yourself and keep it forever. All right, so that's right on your phone. All right. And so if you have the YouVersion Bible app, just open it up, and there's a little tab called Live Events, all right? And that's where we are, Direction Church Orlando, all right? So if you're taking notes, though, here's what I want you to catch, all right? God didn't lead you to this church for this time for you to sit idly by and just get fed or just come. You're here for a reason. And part of that reason is to help fulfill the plan of God for Direction Church. Now, I understand that there are people amongst us that have been injured. I know that there's people around us that have emotional scarring. I get it. You're here to heal, and that's part of it. But nobody comes. Listen, how many of you have ever gone to physical therapy? I remember I had my ACL replaced, and they had me at physical therapy the next day. Not fun. It hurt, but that was part of the healing process. Your healing process isn't for you to just sit there. Your healing process is for you to get involved and help us carry out this vision today. Okay? Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18. Where there is no revelation, that's the same Greek word or Hebrew word for vision right there. So for where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Now, what does that mean? The people cast off restraint. What does that mean? Well, basically what it means is that means that they just don't care and they'll do whatever they want to do. Now, the original King James read it this way, with no vision, the people perish. What does that mean? If you're just doing whatever you want in the kingdom of God and you don't really have a purpose that you're involved in and you're just doing whatever you want to do and you're just floating around just doing whatever, you don't have any restraint and you don't have any vision and you don't have any guidance and you're not submitting yourself to anything, which means you're going to perish. Well, are you going to tell me I'm not going to heaven? That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying you'll never accomplish the full purpose that you're here on the earth until you submit yourself to a vision that is a communal vision greater than the vision on your own life. Now, vision works in two ways. Before we get really into it, I want to lay this groundwork, all right? The first way is this. You do have your own vision for your life, your business, your family, your marriage, your kids, your career. That's your vision. And this vision is specific to you, and it is very important to you. And what God is directing you to do is actually, catch this now, more important to you than the vision of the church is. And I get that, and I say it should be. Your own vision for your own life, why you're here on the earth. Man, God put you here for a reason, and that's a very important thing, and it should be more important to you than what just the communal vision is. All right? Where are you supposed to go? What do you see yourself doing? Vision is overly important for your life. And if you don't believe this, just walk into McDonald's right now. McDonald's understands this principle better than anybody. When we were all kids growing up, everybody ate Happy Meals. Come on now, didn't they? They made it easy for you. You just walked in and you told your mom and dad, I want Happy Meal. My kids don't say Happy Meal. They say chicken nuggets. I want chicken nuggets. They make it easy. And so what do? You pull up there, and they make it easy so even a kid can read their menu. They show the little happy box with the clown on it and the little milk, the milk and the fries and the chicken nuggets and the cheeseburger, and kids can read. Kids that don't even know how to read can read their menu. Get all excited. I want that toy. They know exactly what's in there. So what did they do? We had a whole generation grow up with McDonald's. So what did they do? They replaced pictures of the Happy Meal on their menu with pictures of the Big Mac. Come on now. You walk in, you don't have to study the menu at McDonald's. You all know it because we've all eaten there, unfortunately, so many times. And we look at that picture, and what's looking back at us? A big, succulent piece of meat hanging off a bun with a little secret sauce and lettuce and sesame seed bun. Anybody else remember the recipe? Two all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Anybody? We got trained with that, didn't we? Them pictures of it rotating on the screen. They understand vision. Go on to a car lot someday and just look at, go pick out the wildest, most expensive car on there and look at it. Just walk around it. And, you know, just a few seconds after being on a car lot, they're out there. It's like sharks in the water. It's like, is he serious? And then they walk over and they try and start talking to you just like conversation style. Yeah, that's pretty nice, isn't it? Yeah, it is. And after you talk to him for a few moments, car dealers always, always ask this question. Can you, now watch this, can you see yourself driving one of those? Now, if you want to end the conversation, just look at them and be like, no, not really. They'll talk to you for a few more seconds, and they'll turn around and walk away. Because if you can't see yourself in there, their battle is all uphill, and they're not. You're too hard. Forget it. I'm walking away. No, I really can't see myself in that. But if you can tell, if you respond back, yeah, yes, I can see myself doing 90 miles an hour with the top down. Yes, hallelujah, I see that. They'll stand there and talk to you all day. Why? Because the hard part's over. The vision is already there. All right? You have to see yourself doing what you want to do, what you're called to do, what you desire to do in your own life before you'll ever do it. And I don't mean wishful thinking, oh, that'd be so great, but that's not going to happen. I mean, you have to literally get a vision of yourself in those new clothes when you lose that weight. Come on, somebody. You have to see yourself doing what it is that you've always wanted to do. You have to envision yourself doing that. All right? Now, the way that God has set up this thing that we're all involved in, he set it up as a body. And a body functions for the health of the whole body. Everything your eyes see are just as much for the health of your feet as it is for the health of your eyes. Your eyes are not just looking out for themselves. Now, they do look out for themselves, but they're not just looking out for themselves. They are looking out for the health of your feet just as much as they are for themselves. That's why it hurts so bad when you stub your toe on something you didn't see. Because your eyes are like, dang it, I missed the chance to send the warning. That's why when you walk through your living room at 3 o'clock in the morning and the lights are all off, you're trying to be quiet not to wake anybody up, and then crack, and you go, oh, mother, Lord, help me, blah, 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 blah. And you let maybe a few words that you shouldn't let out. Come on now, be honest. We're in church. We're a body, and we don't just function for our own health. We function for the greater. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. Just as a body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong in the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an ear, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put our body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then the gifts of healings, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have the gifts of healings, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? But now eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is a great scripture that Paul wrote to the church to show the diversity of the body of Christ. Now listen, I know that the body of Christ is a giant collective organism that goes all over the world. And for the most part, our church is just a body part in that. But on a smaller scale, at this church, you are a part of a body here, this local body. And if you're visiting from out of town, you got somewhere else that you go, back home or whatever, I would say that about your church. You are part of a body there. And a part of a body needs to function in order for the rest of the body to maintain its health. So I want to say this, even though the first part of the vision is of your vision is for your life and your family and your business and your marriage, and that's all important and that's all great and it needs to be that way, I will say this, you will never fully recognize your vision in your life if you're not collectively helping a communal vision to occur. You're part of this house. You're part of this body. And you're part of something bigger than yourself. And when you help the body fulfill its purpose, you actually move closer to your vision being accomplished. So this is how we're not going to go back to okay. We're going to do what God has called us to do. We aren't going to sit back and take it easy anymore. Just because we're a new church and we need time to gel and we need time to develop and we need... Listen, that's all over. We're going to war and we're going to win. We're going to go to war of starting an influential church in West Orange County, and specifically Dr. Phillips, Metro West, Tangelo Park, iDrive. We're going to win this war. All right? We must function as a body and get to work. We're taking the fight out to the enemy. So here it is. Now, if you've ever been on our website, we have our vision, our mission statement and our vision up there. And if I was really going to be overly correct about today, really, today is, Vision Sunday is really not the right word, but it sounds good, so we went with it. All right, this is really Strategy Sunday, where I'm going to tell you what our plans are in order to accomplish the vision. But I'm going to tell you what the mission and the vision are. The mission is why we exist. This is why we exist. This is why we felt called to start this church. All right, here it is, our mission statement. A local church where people's faith and relationship with God can grow. They become the people that He's created them to be, and we all travel the road of life together. We established this church, all right, for you to come here and learn about God, grow in your relationship with God, but then not just grow and learn and get fat. No, you are here to grow and learn and get active so that you can actually become everything God's called you to be. But we're doing this together. We're not just driving down the road by ourselves. We're not on this road by ourselves. We're on this road together. And so then the vision is how do we accomplish that? And here it is. Our vision was to mentor people in their relationship with God by evangelizing new converts and making disciples of them by explaining the truths of God's word and how it applies to our life today. The second part was to give people a place where their gifts can be used to impact someone else for the kingdom of God, which allows for more of God in their own lives. We are also here, the vision is to empower people to become what God's created them to be through mentoring in practical, emotional, spiritual, and educational areas. We're also here to provide families with strong children's, teenager, college ministries, as well as single adult and married programs and small groups. We also have common interest groups so people will have a special place to build lasting relationships with their church family. The last thing in the vision statement is we are offering practical help with assistance in food and clothing. Now, we've done that limitedly, but all this is now this is all going to change. Here's how we plan on fulfilling. Here it is. All right. First of all, for 2015, we're going to pick up that first sentence and we're going to start evangelizing new converts. All right. We have been in discussion for months now, and just in recent weeks, really nailed down a few things. But we're starting an evangelism outreach program. All right? We will have one Saturday a month where we will gather at the church on how to get somebody saved, how to be a witness, how to share Jesus with people that you don't know, but also with people that you do know. You know, it's something if you can't go and be around people that you are related to at family gatherings or whatever, and they ask you about church, and the only thing you do is get flustered. That says something. That says that we need to do some training. Where else should you get that training at? Well, church! So we're going to teach you how to do that. And if you're sitting there saying, well, I already know how to do that, then guess who's going to be helping us teach? You are. Don't just sit there and be all arrogant. I already know that. Good. That's why you're here, to help us teach somebody else. I already know how to get somebody saved. I've gotten people saved. Good. Let's help somebody else who's never done it. All right? So we're starting an evangelism outreach. That's the first thing. All right? Then after the training session's over, we're going to go out and put it into practice immediately. We're going to hit the streets with that training is fresh in your heart. Put it to use immediately. Now, one way that ours is going to be different than a normal church has done evangelism outreach. Now, listen, we used to do it at Rhema all the time. We had buses of people that would go out on Friday and Saturday nights. That happened every week. Okay? I know plenty of denominational churches that do the same thing. They all get together and they go out. But here's where I believe ours is going to be a little bit different. Because not only are we going to train you on what to say and how to say it and impact somebody else, but we're going to train you to do it while you're being led by the Spirit. And before we go out, our team will stop and we'll all pray for a moment and pray in the Holy Ghost if you know how, and they will, then we'll all ask, is anybody picking up anything in the Spirit? Now, some of you are already like, what does that mean? Listen, the Spirit of God speaks to every one of us. Read your Bible. That doesn't mean flaky, weird stuff that all of a sudden you're going to be all holding hands and this voice is going to go, all right, now I want you to go down, and you're all going to be like, that's not what it means. I'm talking about an inward witness on the inside. I feel like when I go out, I need to be looking for somebody wearing this or somebody named this. I don't know why, but this name keeps floating up into my spirit. I don't understand it. And we're going to share that with each other so that, guess what? We all can be looking for how the Spirit's leading us doing this. I feel like we're going to go out and touch somebody who's sick today. Somebody's got this wrong with them. I feel like we need to be looking for somebody with crutches. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about being Spirit-led while we're sharing Jesus. And so that's where ours will be a little bit different than just your normal evangelism outreach. We're also going to go out and reach out with the power of God for healing. I believe in and expecting people that we lay hands on to immediately get healed. Boy, that's an awful week. Oh, is it? Really? Can that? Yes, that can happen through you. Jesus said it in the Great Commission. We all got the first part right. Go into all the world and preach the good news. But then he said, and these signs will follow you. So if you're going to go out and do it, there ain't no reason that you shouldn't be having these things happen. If you lay hands on somebody that's sick while they're out, they ought to encounter the power of God immediately. Well, you're not going to be with us, Pastor Brent. I might be in your group and I might not be. But that does not matter one hill of beans difference if any of the staff is with you. If you're out by yourself, you are a believer. Come on, somebody. Help me preach this morning. I am a believer. You are a believer, and I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You got to do that. This is part of evangelism. You know, listen, I stayed at Oral Roberts' house when I was in Tulsa just a few weeks ago. I'm all about the old tent meetings that used to do. I'm all about the power of God doing crazy miracles. I loved it. I mean, I was raised in it. I worked for Kenneth Hagin for 11 years. I believe it. But I believe that we made a mistake somewhere by saying that all that just comes into the church. Really, healing was an evangelistic tool way before it came into the church. When Jesus was out walking around healing people, he was an evangelist. And when he said that to the Great Commission, he didn't just say, bring them to church and get them healed. No, no, no. He's talking about being an evangelist out there. Well, I don't really feel called to be an evangelist. Every believer is called to be an evangelist. You may not put on the good-looking jacket. Y'all like this? You may not comb your hair and look at a TV screen and be like, stretch your hands towards the screen, dear people. You may not be one of those people. You may not ever go and hold a meeting at a church somewhere. You still are an evangelist. And I'm just going to tell you right now, we're going to go past the time limit today. Right? I should not have had Olivia say it was going to be an hour and a half. I'm sorry. But we're going to take care of business today, all right? We're going to go out and be evangelists in this world, all right? We're going to do some special events with our evangelistic outreaches. Now, we're already doing them, but I want to see more of you involved in it. Easter is right around the corner, which means we're going to be having Easter egg hunts for the public. Now, I want your kids to come too. I want your families to come too. I want your nieces and nephews and grandkids to come too. But listen, I want the people that you know out in the community to come. The first time we did this, and you saw pictures of it if you were here when the pre-roll started, the first one we did, we had 250 people show up at it. We were stunned. And I gave an altar call and prayed, and people accepted Jesus. That's what the whole thing's about. When it comes to the fall and we get around Halloween, we did one this year. And we had close to 200 people come to it this year. We're going to put up more blow-up games out there, and we're going to have a great time. But listen, it isn't just about for them to show up and get candy. Like Jerry Seinfeld said, when you're a kid, you just walk around and you get candy, get candy, get candy, get candy. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about them coming here and experiencing the presence of God here. Why is the presence of God here? Is it because of this building? No, it's because you're here. You better catch that. You're here. And you bring Him with you every time you come here. And when you bring your piece of Him here, I bring my piece of Him here. There's a whole lot of Him sitting in this room right now. Come on, somebody. And when they show up here and all of us are here, what are they going to experience? Him. And then they get a chance to get to know Him. We're going to do that. We're going to keep feeding people at Christmas. We did 15 this year. We've got a little bit more every year. We're going to keep doing it. Also, in an attempt to have outreach-minded events, we're going to have 11 special Sundays planned this year. We're calling these mini Easter Sundays. Not many as in M-A-N-Y, but many as in M-I-N-I. Many Easter Sundays. How many of you know Easter is the most packed day of the year? Because everybody gets convicted and has to go to church. It's Easter. My grandfather, before he got saved, he told the pastor at our little Pentecostal church in Kentucky, he said, "You know, every time I show up here, you preach the same message." And the pastor looked at him and said, "Well, maybe you ought to come sometime between, besides Easter and Christmas." And I understand why people go on Easter. But at the same time, some of it also has to do with the fact that the church actually puts on their best on Sunday. And I'm not talking about just getting up early and dressing up because it's Easter. I'm talking about we prepare more. We try harder. Come on now, don't we? We promote it. We do special things. Oh, y'all need to come. Our Easter cantata is going to be awesome. And then on Easter Sunday morning, anybody else grow up in one of those churches where the women wear the big hats on Sunday morning and it smelled like perm? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Every woman in the church gave themselves a perm the night before. And you just sat there and smelled Activator all day, all morning long. It's true. And people that never wear dress clothes showed up in dress clothes. Suit and tie. I mean, I remember like 7 years in a row, my parents bought me a new suit for Easter. I mean, I'm talking from the time I was like 7, 8 years old all the way up to I was 12. And I'm not talking, you know, cute little boy suit. I'm talking like Pentecostal evangelist in the 70s style suits I was getting. Now, that's what we're talking about, the 70s. I mean, I'm talking three-piece suit with the big fat tie every year for Easter. We put on our best physically, but we put on our best planning and everything. Well, guess what we're going to do? We're going to do the same thing 10 more times this year. Now, we're already Easter's one of the 11. We've got 10 more that we're going to plan. And guess what? You're going to help us promote it. You're going to help us tell people about it. You're going to invite your friends, just like it's a big deal. A little peek behind the curtain. One thing we got planned, one of them is Mother's Day. Mother's Day is going to be one of our mini Easter Sundays. And so guess what we're going to do? As a little hook to help you promote what we're doing here, when they come, if they come with their families, they're going to get a free family portrait. We're going to just give it to them. So, Jim, get that camera ready. because you're going to be taking pictures all day that day. Now, what does that mean? They get us sitting in poses? No, we're going to set them down in front of something. We'll take the picture, and then they're going to get it on email, and they can print it however they want, whenever they want. I don't care about the copyright and all that stuff. They can do whatever they want with it. Facebook it, make it their profile picture. Don't you love those family pictures? That's just the kind of things that's just a real small thing. The first one that we had planned is this one, and obviously this is a little bit different, but the first big mini Easter Sunday we have planned, and I'm just going to see who's really with me today, is in 4 weeks, Super Bowl Sunday. Now, we're going to have service in the morning, and we're going to have our normal service, and then we're having a Super Bowl party that night. That's where I want to see if everybody's with me right there, because everybody's like, but I was going to have my own party. I understand if you've already started planning, you just keep doing what you're doing. But if you don't have no plans, here, you bring your friends here. During the halftime show, I'm going to give an altar call. And we're going to present Jesus to people. So you work with somebody, you do something, you got people that you know, invite them to Super Bowl Sunday. And here's the other thing. It's a little bit different about ours. Ours isn't super as in Superman. Ours is soup as in soup. We're having a soup cook-off. And we're gonna all bring pots of soup, and we're going to just sit around and enjoy Super Bowl with soup. And I'm going to make Canadian cheese soup that it just make you fall on the floor and raise your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. But I am not the only one. I want to see what you got. You bring your cheese too. I mean, your soup too. So evangelism outreach, that's the first thing. I can't believe I'm only on number one. All right. I'm sorry, y'all. All right. Many Easters, yes. All right. We'll get the schedule out to you about when the rest of those are in just the next week. Somebody listen to me. Next week, okay? All right, next thing, small groups. Now, this is already going here at the church. Our vision really got unveiled for that in the fall. And we had a decent test run for small groups. I loved my small group. Loved it. We had a great turnout right here. And when we had the wall up, we just met out there, put those couches around, met out there. I tested my soup on them a couple times, and we just had great. Janet brought some kind of popcorn treat one night that just I was trying to be good and not eat the whole bag of it, and I just kept rebuking it in the name of Jesus, and somehow or another it just kept wound up in my hand, and I was just like, how did you get there? I guess I have to take care of you. I mean, we would sit around and laugh and talk and enjoy each other, and then we would dive into the Word and discuss. It was wonderful. I got the same kind of thing reports from other people. But here's the part that really bugged me. Some of you didn't go once to a small group. And I'm just going to tell you, I know everybody's got life. And again, you don't have to go all the time. We had plenty of times people would say, I can't make it tonight or whatever. And that's understandable. But you have 12 weeks. You could surely make one. What is all about that? It's the place where relationships in this body are strengthened. If you understand, if you hear something happen to somebody else in this church and it doesn't bother you, that means you're not grafted completely into the body. Because if you hurt your toe, your eyes and your ears know it. Your hair feels it. And so if that's not happening for you, it's because you're not strengthening relationships here. Small groups are the place that happens, and then that's also a place where we can get deeper into topics that you want to know about. And your spiritual walk grows. All right? Small groups are not a place where, excuse me, where you just come and we just beat you over the head with the Word. And we spend all of our time just preaching to you. Small groups are a place where you can come and share with us what God's been speaking to you about. Small groups are a place where you to come to and ask questions. Small groups are the place where we all share in something together. Well, my work is, my schedule and all. Listen, months. We had small groups meeting five nights last time, I think. Five out of seven nights. And we've got some talking about doing Saturday mornings. We've got others talking about doing them Sunday nights in somebody's house. Listen, this is the place for you to bring your unsaved friends to that will never come to church with you. You can take them to somebody's house and get them hooked in. Now, with that being said, next Sunday, it is next Sunday, isn't it? Yeah. Next Sunday night, we're having a leadership training for new leaders of small groups. If you even ever thought about it, maybe you're not ready to do it yet, but you've thought about it, you need to come next Sunday. We'll feed you. Come to small group leader training. What does that mean? We're going to teach you what's expected of you if you head up a small group. And we will feed you. And you may not do a small group this semester, but you should come anyway. Get trained so that when it's time, you can jump in. You don't have to go through it all again. All right? And it's only, what is it, a couple hours? It's a couple hours, and we feed you. And we don't just, like, you know, give you, like, some cold chicken nuggets. We actually, I think you know, no French fries. I mean, I think we went and got Chewy's last time and had it catered. All right? So next Sunday is a training session for that. All right? You all should be daring to dream of leading a small group. And if you feel like, well, that's kind of premature, this church isn't big enough to have that many small group leaders, that you need to listen to me. I'm talking vision, future. I'm talking about when we are big enough and we need you to lead a small group. When a small group grows and it gets bigger than it's supposed to be and we got to split it in half, who do we put in charge of the group that splits off of that? If you haven't gone through small group leadership training, I can't use you. You're useless to me in that way. That's why this is so important, and this is why you have to grab hold of the vision. It's for the future. All right? All right, let's move on. We are going to have a youth ministry here at this church. Listen, I spent 22 years as a youth pastor. This is passionate for me. All right? I can't help it. I kind of slant that way still. I'll probably always be that way. All right? I was a youth pastor. All right? And I still go and do camps and retreats because I love being around teenagers. There's just something about being around people who think they know everything. It still gives you a little bit of swag. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not talking about people who really do know everything. I'm talking about people that think they know everything. There's just something about, there's still great about that. All right? We have come up with a list of about 10 or so teenagers in this church. Now, if you look around, they're not all here today. But we feel like if we can meet this need full on at 2 years old, I feel real confident we can do this. If we can meet this need head on, they'll be here on Sunday mornings. And that should be a bright spot for you, because the more of them that are here, the longer future this church has. Now listen, I love my age group. I love me. I do. But guess what? We're the present. We're not the future anymore. I mean, we have some future left in us, praise God. But the real future is those guys that are sitting there that are 12, 13. Let's take it down even further. 3, 7. We got a good children's ministry. We're going to get to that in a second. But we're going to have teenagers here. And Chris and Sully are going to be, they're not going to be, they are our youth pastors. I kind of feel bad for them because I have to, like, sit back and go, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to bite my finger like this. Because I always said, I used to teach this at Rhema. I used to tell them all the time, I'm like, look, the hardest pastor to work for as a youth pastor is the guy that used to be a youth pastor. So the anointing is on you. All right. There are youth pastors. And we already have our first event planned. January the 18th. It's a Sunday After church, parents, if you want to go with them, you can. In fact, parents are always welcome to come to our events, as long as your kids say it's okay. I'm not joking. That's the only deciding factor. If your kids say, "Mom, I don't want you to come," then you don't get to come. I'm sorry. Okay? We'll take care of them, I promise. I got 22 years under my belt, never had any bad things happen at any of our youth events. All right? So, here's the thing. We're going to Rebounders on January the 18th. If you don't know what Rebounders is, we'll talk about it again in the announcements. But they're going to go, and it's, how much is it again? $16.50 per person. And that includes your jump socks and your sessions there. And then they're going to eat there at the thing. That's going to be after church on a Sunday, so nobody has to go home and come back and all that stuff. Just bring your kids. They'll go with them right down there, and you can come too. Bring a friend. I was getting to that. And we've already decided whatever kid brings the most friends to this first event, we're going to give them an AMC gift card so they can go to the movies with their friends some other time. All right? So, I mean, that's not a lot, but that's something. And we're building with what we have. All right? So, I would love it, and we're going to try our best for our teenagers to go to youth camp this summer. One of the most life-changing experiences I ever had as a adult and as a teenager was going to youth camp. I did youth camps for 23 years. Random. Planned them. Well, you only did 22 years as a youth pastor. I know, I was doing them before I started. Planned, random, put them on, loved every second of it. And we're going to go, if we can, to youth camp this summer. And you talk about a place that your life gets changed. Did anybody else's life ever get changed at youth camp? Oh, yeah. Almost every pastor I know got called to ministry while they were at youth camp. And so we're going to go. And I'm looking real hard, and I know that there's a great camp just up on almost the Daytona Beach, but they're big and crowded and don't have a lot of room for newbies. So a good friend of mine named Mark Hankins has got a camp that he does over on the Panhandle. And it's a lot smaller, and they love us. And they're going to, in fact, they've given money to help start this church. And so we're looking at real hard of going up to the Panhandle for youth camp this summer to the Hankins' Ministries church, or to youth camp. All right? All right. Man, y'all, I'm sorry. It's 11:30. Y'all okay? I got a few more. All right. All right. All right. All right. You have been created with a gift, and it's time to get off the sidelines and use it here at this church. We have serving teams. Now, we're not going to call them volunteers anymore. You're not a volunteer. All right? You're part of a serving team. We serve the house. We serve the Lord. We serve the vision. That's what we are, and you need to get serving. We have serving teams. I'm going to call the names, and I'm going to have them stand up. David Diaz is our head usher. Standing there in the back. He looks like a head usher, doesn't he, with his jacket on? Keep standing. Nope, keep standing. All right. Chris, stand up. Chris is our head greeter. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. You don't have to applaud for all these people, all right? Chris is our head greeter. But here's the thing. With Chris being the youth pastor now, his responsibilities are doubling. And I'm just going to be honest with you. And we're not just going to take it because you say so. But we're looking for somebody to hand off the greeters to. And somebody's going to be responsible with it. But as of right now, it's Chris. Because Chris is, you know, one of those guys who's like, "Hey, how are you?" And just makes you feel comfortable immediately. All right? And so we're looking for somebody that can take over and be the head greeter. And they need to be responsible and somebody like that. So just, you might as well start volunteering first. Okay? All right? What did I say, volunteer? Yeah, so serving. I got to get it in my head too, y'all. All right, Mike, stand up. Mike, roll. Mike is our volunteer coordinator. So anytime you volunteer, are we changing the name of that? Yeah, okay, serving coordinator. Serving coordinator. Good, y'all are catching this. I was really just testing you. It's our serving coordinator. If you're going to plug in anywhere in the church, you got to talk to Mike, okay? All right? And he's the guy to get that started, okay? I'm missing somebody. Oh, Phi, Olivia. Fi probably can't stand up because he's got a cast on. It's like, Olivia, stand up in his place. This is our social media team. All right? Now, I'm just going to tell you right now, everything you get that you see has been posting up there, daily walk stuff, that's all them. I have nothing to do with it. All right? And so, but the thing is we want to have a social media team in church that's posting stuff about the service and stuff like that. Quotes that if I said something is real good, you just post it, all right? So that it's constant. But with that being said, that means you all got to get involved in the social media aspect promotion of the church, all right? But if you want to volunteer, thank you, Fi. Amen. You want to get involved with them, there they are, all right? Serving. Darnell, that's who I was missing. There he is. Come up here. So he's in that room back there. Y'all can't see him anymore. Darnell heads up the tech team. All right, if you want to get involved in turning knobs, now I'm just going to tell you right now, we're getting ready to add a second camera, all you online viewers, and so we're going to need a camera operator, and you want to get involved in that kind of stuff, all the stuff that goes on the screen, our live stream, the sound, all that stuff, that is all through a team, and you talk to Darnell about that, okay? And then my lovely wife, Jody, is our praise and worship leader, and if you're musical in any way, okay, sing, play an instrument, whatever. Listen, that's one of the things I've been seeking God about why I've been fasting is that we need musicians. And it's not because of what we have is bad. We just need more, okay? Like this week, we thought Juanita was not going to make it because she had the flu. But thank God the healing power of God invaded their house, all right? And so she made it. But that was, we were really kind of like sweating it for a little bit. Like where are we going to find somebody to play keyboards this week? So if you're musical in any way, shape, or form, we got a spot for you. If you play the banjo, you're welcome, okay? All right? This is the volunteer coordinators. If you want to get involved in small groups, see, I was testing you. Servers, stand up, Terry. Terry's in charge of small groups. This is who you talk to for small groups, all right? This is the team, okay? Sit down. All right. All right. So that's that, all right? I'm trying to move fast now, all right? What number are we on? 4? 6? All right. We're starting something called Saturday Seminars. And this is not going to be a regular thing. It's going to be kind of once a quarter sometime. But we got a lot of experts of things sitting in this room right now. People you don't even know have expertise in. And we're going to offer a seminar on Saturdays where we'll cover a variety of topics. They'll all be going at the same time. Like, we'll use that room over there, we'll use this room, we'll use the couple of rooms down in kids, so that we can cover a variety of topics, because part of our vision is to educate people with things, all right? For practical things, we're going to be basic, okay? We're going to do some of the most easy things that some people will laugh, but let me tell you something, I know, because I talk to all of you more often than everybody else, I know some of the things that you need on a daily basis. And so we're going to have classes on how to check the fluids in your car. And Chris is going to that one first. And you're going to teach it, right? Okay. Now listen, y'all can laugh all you want to, but you know, if you're here and you don't know how to do that, you should. Well, I'll just pay somebody to do it. Well, what if you're somewhere and you can't find somebody to do it? All right? We're going to talk about how to live on a budget. We're going to do one on how to make a cake. I'm serious, or make something. We're going to have Ruth Diaz come and teach us how to make that Spanish rice. Amen. We're going to do stuff on how to start a business. Sitting in our midst right now, we have business people who are very good at coaching and innovation. And guess what? They're going to help us talk about that. We're gonna lean on James Justin, who's a coach, a life coach, and a very successful business and entrepreneur, and his wife Loretta, who's an eye doctor. They have a very successful business up in Metro West. We're gonna lean on them for that kind of stuff. We're gonna talk about how to write a resume. He's not here today, but a good friend of mine, KC Krejci, and y'all know who KC is. He looks like me without a beard. The other big, tall, black-headed guy that goes to church here owns one of the most successful nutrition companies in America, not just in Florida or not just in Orlando, in America, in the world. Very successful diet and health nutrition guy. We're going to do something on diet and nutrition. Some of these seminars will be on those kind of things. Anybody else in here living fuelers? Yeah, amen. It's good stuff. All right? So, those are the practical. Emotional things. We're going to cover a variety of topics. Dealing with loss. Overcoming offense. Breaking loose from fear. Other things on an emotional level, because we do have people with psychiatric care backgrounds here. People that can help you on a practical level. Listen, we'll help you with the spiritual. I can do that. Snap my fingers. I'm right there with you. But I'm talking about people that can walk with you through practical things. You go through a loss, there's some things you need to know. We have people here that can help you with that. These are Saturday seminars. All right? We're going to do some spiritual ones. We're going to do some on how to read the Bible, how to pray in the Holy Ghost. We're going to do some on healing. We're going to talk about how to repent and keep your heart free from between you and God, something between you and God. We're going to cover a lot of those areas. We're also going to do some educational areas where we talk about people that want to become bilingual. We have some people here that need to speak Spanish because they're not hiring you unless you do. Guess what? Suli told me when we first started the church, she said, I'm ready to teach somebody how to speak Spanish. Do they not speak Spanish in Puerto Rico? That's like saying you go to Australia, I only speak Australian. Whatever. Spanish. Okay. I mean, that's like saying I'm from Kentucky. I can't communicate with people who speak English down here because we speak redneck up there, and they speak international English down here. I've been to England, and I spoke just fine over there. So, dialect, oh, who cares? All right. We're going to do some educational areas in that, okay? We got some teachers here in this body, several actually, and we're going to offer things on getting your GED. You don't have it yet? We got hope for you. Saturday seminars. A lot of those that start in the educational will actually transition into small groups because you can't just knock it all out in one day. But it's a good launching platform for that. All right? So that's the Saturday seminar. Now, we're going to wrap it up with this, and I know we've gone way over, but you'll just have to live with it. All right, and forgive me. All right? The last thing I want to say to you is this. Part of the vision is you promoting and inviting people. Everyone who goes to church here needs to be part of the promotion here. If you see something that we're doing, you need to tell people about it. And if you're not proud of your church, and I'm not talking because we got it all together, but if you're not proud of your church enough to tell somebody, why are you going to church here? Now, I don't say that cavalier. Like, get out. There's the sign. I don't mean it that way. But you need to go somewhere where you're proud of where you go to church and you invite somebody. You need to be part of the promotion. And so as I close it out, I say this. Promote and invite. I'm going to read to you a stat. No, most of you aren't going to believe me, but this is the truth. The average person, whether online or not, can influence an average of 150 people. You can influence 150 people. Well, I don't barely know 150 people. That's the national average. Now, online, it's the same as it is offline. If you're an online person and you're Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you can influence about 150 people. Now, there are exceptions to it. I know when I post, I get a variety of topics, a variety of different reactions, depending on what I'm talking about. I have 5,000 friends on Facebook. Yeah, I'm kind of a big deal. No, most of them are my old students. I mean, it's kind of useless because hardly any of them live here. But you, if we post something, I love it when I see all the people like what we post. I liked it. Well, if it's really good, share it. Why? It'll pop up in your newsfeed. Somebody else will see it. And then, what are we doing? We're all promoting the body here. We're going to have sometime before Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to have some flyers for you to go hand out to start promoting the first big mini Easter. When we get into February, we'll have the ones for March printed up for you so you can take them. They're called rave cards. So you can take them and hand them out to people at work or invite somebody to, that you work with so that you're part of the promotion, and everything we're doing here won't just be just for us to just kind of spin our wheels. It'll be that you are building the body here. Everybody's involved in it, okay? We are called by God to plant, and I want you to, as we close, Hebrews chapter 11, and this will be it. We're called by God to plant a life-giving church that will change people for the kingdom of God. As I close today, I want to say this. Don't delay. Get involved in one of these plans. Help us change the spiritual climate of West Orange County. It's not just about you going to heaven. It's not just about you having your needs met. It's about you getting others to go to heaven with us and get their needs met as well. And setting the climate so that the Holy Spirit can have freedom in our midst. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. And this is what it's going to take for you to make this happen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. As I lay all this vision out for you today of what we're going to do this year, some of you are no doubt sitting there thinking, what does that do for me? How does that help me? That's good, it's the church, but how does that help me? It's the fact that you are believing that this vision comes from God and that you're going to accomplish what God's wanting accomplished here. Okay? Now catch this. And if you believe and you step out, here's what's in it for you. God is pleased with you. And if God's pleased with you, man, how easy is it to receive from Him? How easy is it when you have a need to go to somebody who's pleased with you and they go, oh yeah, well done, good and faithful servant, here you go. God is pleased with you when you do His business. And He will meet you right where you are, and He will pour out the blessings from heaven on you to where the Bible says you won't have room enough to contain them. It's going to take faith, though. When you feel like yourself sliding back into, oh, it's just church, and there's only about 80 people there. I mean, they're wanting us to show up early for that. There's just 80 people there. What's your faith in? The fact that there's 80 people here? Or the fact that God wants 8,000 people here? Come on, somebody. Well, Brent, that's a pretty big step. Not to God, it's not. I mean, that's who we're serving. So, put your faith out there with me. Let your actions back up what you believe. And let's see this vision fulfilled here on the earth.